tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Like, I feel like any anime streaming service where they're not actually publishing their own content is probably going to be the ones that don't.
I will say it's disappointing that Gen Lock Season 2 is not going to be on Toonami now. So,
oh, right.
That's miss HBO, on that one.
HBO Plus. I'm surprised somebody actually re-upped that.
All right. Like, it's time for us to start because we're talking about news.
Well, I want to talk more about Gen Lock, guys. Gen Lock. Remember Gen Lock?
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 173 of the Toonami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hello.
C. Kohler.
Hey, guys.
And Imperial Bishop.
Gen Lock. I mean, hi.
Yes, no, we were just talking about how they got a new
breaking
season.
News. We look dumb because we were a few weeks ago just saying, ha ha ha, Gen Lock Season 2.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Yeah. But it turns out there's nothing a streaming service won't throw money at when they need a thing. So Genlock Season 2 is coming to HBO Max.
Can we please get Megas XLR or Symbionic Titan? Like,
come
please,
on.
HBO, what? Please, don't do so.
Well, maybe that like tax thing would go all the way up to them because it's all under the same umbrella.
No, apparently I think the rule for the tax thing is that they can't, like Cartoon Network and Turner can't bring it back, but someone else can.
Yes, but
like Warner Media,
would it actually go all the way up to AT&T?
Oh yeah, bring it back. Yeah, that's right.
No,
yeah.
No, I don't think it. All the subsidiaries count. I think it's just like Cartoon Network can't bring it back.
Oh well, apparently they got the entire voice cast back except for Koichi Yamadera.
They didn't get him back.
Yeah,
I mean,
how
yeah.
How did get everyone but him?
Maybe he was busy.
Also, he lives in Japan, so I'm pretty sure the time schedule would be
not good.
Yeah,
they're probably thinking no one will notice.
We're not dead.
To be perfectly honest,
I mean, kill the character off in like the first episode. Everyone will be like, oh my god, it's so edgy. The stakes are so high.
But it's like Voltron. You can't just like kill off one of them.
He just got his awesome samurai mech.
Well, then you write in a new character with the awesome samurai.
Funny you said Voltron.
Here's my original character, Kirito.
Boo.
Kirito joins the Genlock team.
It's nothing personnel.
What?
Oh, wow.
I could see them doing that, to be honest.
Also, they announced MHA Season 4.
I mean, I'm shocked.
Oh my god, we actually talking about Toonami now? Wait a minute.
I mean, technically, it is a part
Gen
of...
Genlock is Toonami.
Not in my heart. But anyway...
It's on the list.
It is on the list. So yeah, we're getting MHA to no one's surprise, but this is good.
Right?
Yeah.
Starts off the block and bye-bye Dragon Ball Super.
Oh yeah, so that's the good news to me, is that we're leading off with a premiere.
I mean, I'm not really shocked at all, but, you know.
Also, didn't even put Dragon Ball Super in the back rerun slot. They put in Attack on Titan again.
That surprised me. I thought that at least it would have it at the back to, like, rerun, you know.
No, I think having Attack on Titan back there makes more sense because it's coming back sooner. Like, they know it's definitely going to come back.
Is that why you think they did it? I have no idea why they did that.
It should be next year.
There's a new season coming up, so they can just transition right into that and do the same thing they just did with MHA. You know, they have the rerun going, and then they just, you know.
Well, would I didn't
they
know
have
there was one.
Would they have enough episodes, though? Because if it's... They just aired the reruns. They started episode 1, so they start air the reruns all the way up until fall 2020, maybe?
Not that far away, is it? I thought there was another season coming in, like, spring.
Season of what?
Attack on Titan, yeah.
Let me look this up really quick.
The final season is going to be fall 2020.
No, I'm pretty sure there was a second half of this season that was coming.
Oh, the second half?
Yeah.
Oh, we already had the second
This was the second half.
Yeah, well, the second half. Okay. So, well. I have to go to Wikipedia for this.
Don't get spoiled, man. Careful.
Oh, he reads it.
There be dragons.
I'm good. I'm fine.
He's current.
Upon the airing of the final episode of the third season, it was announced that a fourth and final season of the anime series was scheduled for a Q4 2020 release.
Oh, that is a long way away.
Yes. Almost long enough to air basically the entire series before it'll come back.
Yeah. Well, what episode are they starting on?
Probably one, they have this same information, so yeah, I would assume they'd start at one.
I mean, episode one of the last season, or episode one?
Episode one.
Yeah, they're rerunning at season one, episode one.
Oh, yeah, no, then they're definitely planning to just slide it in.
That's 59 episodes. Honestly, even that probably doesn't get them there.
It probably does once you take into account various, you know.
Breaks.
Yeah, breaks. Okay. And
it probably does. Even,
well, like, it'll get them close enough to where it'll be like, okay, they won't have forgotten. The hype will be there, you know?
Yeah.
We also got, although I think it might have aired before, but we got a promo for The Forge.
No, this is actually the first. This is the first thing they've shown of The Forge, I think.
I don't think that's true, because we knew that what's his face was in it, the voice of Jet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they aired something before
they may have shown the first episode at like MomoCon.
Right. MomoCon, yes, I think they did that.
I don't. Oh, yeah, before. They haven't shown any like Forge stuff onto Nami.
Oh, that's probably. Yeah, that sounds
so
right.
So if you pay attention to MomoCon, this would be the first you were hearing of it.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, and that's real soon, right?
Yeah, that sounds...
Before the end of the year.
Oh, The Forge is November 6th.
Like 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Or November 9th, I mean.
Yeah, November 9th. It's right after my exam is due.
It's the premiere day of MHA.
Interesting. How did that work before? Wasn't it like, oh yeah, I do remember now. Like, it was like they would show The Forge, and then like the whole block, the bumps would be related to what happened or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they would, the bumps would be screwy and such.
It messed up, yeah.
Now they have to make new bumps.
Right.
You think so, but.
And then they're going to come back with the same bumps.
No, I mean, apparently. Didn't they say they're doing less of them so that they can actually do more with each thing?
Yes, that's correct.
You know, so, like, they'll have more money to make, new bumps and stuff.
Like, hopefully they'll now have more time to make new bumps.
Yeah, because, I mean, this stuff is...
working on The Forge.
Because, yeah, I mean, this stuff is cool, but it happens, like, once a year, and that's too much. You know? Like,
they already said
it. They skipped last year.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every two, 3 years is good,
You know, it'd be really cool if, like, 1 year they decide to, like, outsource, like, the tie-ins with, like, let's say they get, like, an animation studio to do, like, a short hour or two-hour tie-in instead of doing
get
it all in-house.
Trigger.
Yeah. They commission Trigger to do it. It probably would be.
The Forge is 6 episodes from November 9th to December 14th. You have to imagine that the 2 weeks after that are marathons because Christmas and New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
I almost forgot about the Christmas marathon. I miss movies.
Well, maybe not. Now that like shows like Demon Slayer and Super are like doing movies that in some cases may not matter, they may have to start showing those movies. Or they can just be like, what are you talking about? We don't. You're good. You don't need those movies. We don't pay attention to those.
It's possible. Maybe on April Fools, they might.
I mean, I could see the new Super movie being adapted. But
I'm specifically talking about the Demon Slayer movie.
No, the Demon Slayer movie is like the first Ippo movie or the Haruhi movie, where it's like super plot relevant and you can't skip it.
Right, and are they going to know that or even care? And are they just going to go straight to season 2 and be like, you didn't miss anything, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I think that they will probably account for that in the anime because there's going to be anime viewers who don't watch the movie.
So for the anime is going to be made for the Japanese audience, and they're going to assume that you've seen the movie.
I don't think they've done that before. I'm not saying that's not impossible. I'm just saying that, like, how many anime shows do we watch that have, like, recaps? I mean, come on.
So the thing you're missing is that those are strictly for filling time.
Right.
Recaps are made because they couldn't get an episode done in time.
That's not always true. Sometimes they do them at the beginning of a season.
Sometimes if they're coming way back, yes.
Yeah.
But what you're basically asking then is for an entire part of the story to be turned into like a recap episode
That's exactly what I'm saying is going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Why would they do that if they're making a movie?
Because they can. And because it's also like, it's not fair to the people who didn't see the movie.
They don't care.
Especially
for the Japanese audience, you're expected to keep up with that stuff.
I don't believe that.
Like, you will go see the movie.
Anime depends on the fans being very into it and hardcore.
But
keep in mind, most of this stuff is based on comics that a lot of people read anyway. So even if you do skip the movie, you should still know what the hell's going on because, you know, you're following the comic.
Like, if this was a show being made in America for American audiences, then yeah, you would definitely not do that. But since it's Japan,
name an anime series that has done this.
Hippo.
Hippo has absolutely done this.
Hippo?
Hippo has done this. His first title defense, which is a fantastic arc, they turned it into a movie and never adapted it.
I've never heard of Hippo.
Hippo. The boxing thing.
Hajime no Hippo.
The boxing thing. Hippo. Okay.
Yeah.
I think Haikyuu.
Haruhi did it.
Haikyuu was turning something from the manga into an OVA.
Right.
Before the upcoming season that may or may not actually get licensed by Crunchyroll or something. Mm-hmm. So this is how they do it. They expect you to track this stuff down.
Yeah. Also, Haruhi did it with literally the best book in the series.
That's The Disappearance, right?
Yeah. They turned it into a movie instead of another season because it fits better as a movie and it was fantastically awesome.
The expectation is that you will do the work and come to them.
I guess we could just hope that, you know, DeMarco or whoever's in charge of Adult Swim now, because apparently Mike Lazo's stepping down, but whoever is in charge in the future can decide to air the movie before season two.
Even if we try to tell him, he'll be like, sorry, we don't do movies, and he'll be like, no, seriously, this is important to the plot. And he's like, yeah, whatever, the plot. No such thing as filler.
I never forget about that. Like the movies are really expensive. That's why they don't, you know. And if they were to get rid of the filler, it's what if they accidentally skip something? And not every filler doesn't have canon stuff attached.
And basically, I think the point DeMarco makes is that filler is just content they could air. So why would they skip content when they license the whole thing?
Because it's bad.
They also paid for it anyway.
And it's too much effort
to get rid of it.
Anyway, I totally expect, like, I don't actually know if there's going to be an actual, like, Demon Slayer Season 2, because they may have decided that they don't want to do a series anymore, and they just want to do a movie.
I mean, that would be cool.
It's UFO Table, but didn't they do a sixth season of God Eater?
I don't know.
I know they did a Fate series. I don't know. Anyway, I think we're kind of getting off track.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the block. One Punch Man, episode 15, The Hunt Begins. In this episode, Garo fucks a bunch of people up.
I mean, you That's know, about normal.
Hi, Moomin Rider. Oh my god, Moomin Rider's dead.
Oh man, why does this keep happening to him? Man, this is my boy, Moomin Rider. Why does it keep happening to him?
Because he has no powers. That's why.
But he has his bike.
Yeah.
He has his lucky bike. But yeah, that was...
Yeah, nobody wants to see him get beat up, and of course that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He didn't deserve it.
And all those other guys, the tank top squad got...
Well, they deserved it for wearing tank tops. What the fuck?
Plus, I mean, they were dicks too.
I'm wearing a tank top right now. Dang, what?
I mean, there's been like 5 tank top people in this series. And then this episode had like, what was it, like Ultimate Tank Top or something was like the boss of them.
Was it Tank Top Master or what?
Yeah, I think it might have been Master, yeah.
Next thing you'd be like, where's Tank Top Boy and Tank Top Girl and Tank Top the Super Dog?
They're dead.
Well, they didn't really die. They just got beat up, supposedly.
Yeah, Garo mysteriously has killed 0 people so far.
Yeah, suffering every One Piece syndrome right here. It's like, just beat him within an inch of their life, but don't kill him. That's too much.
He also fights, like, Golden Ball and that rapier dude.
Oh, and then that guy with the baseball bat showed up.
Metal Bat's in the promo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in the promo. Oh, that's right.
Josuke with a bat.
Yeah, I remember him from season 1.
Great, you'll finally get to see him fight.
Yeah.
Bad news, though. It's not going to look good.
Going to be a lot of gradients.
So there was one legitimately good-looking, great-looking part of this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They put out a great-looking cut.
It seems like that's a trend that's happening. Like, the whole episode will look pretty mediocre, and then there'll be, like, one moment in the episode that's like, oh, that looks good.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, the episode didn't really look bad, but compared to season 1 standards, it's really...
Yeah, we've said this like 3 times now. I mean, I think we're going to keep saying it every episode. It's going to be like, the episode didn't really look that bad, but compared to season 1...
You really notice all the times they conveniently don't show the action.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Like quick cuts.
So I'm trying to think about like the actual content of the show, and like, I just, so Garu's just going around picking fights with everybody. Apparently he goes up to like some little kid who has like a hero magazine or something. Yeah.
Oh yes.
And then he uses that to like find out where the heroes are so he can beat them up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something about like a tournament that Saitama is going to enter, and he's going to wear a wig.
Oh, right, yeah. No, that's some filler stuff that Murata came up with.
Yeah.
It's boring.
Oof. Saitama decides to join a martial arts tournament, and they show way too much of the martial arts tournament.
Seriously.
It's kind of like, why continue? I mean, I know it makes money, but I feel like you should have... Murata should at least gone on hiatus until he was ready to continue on with the actual candy content, but...
Yeah. Well, you know.
He wanted to draw cool shit.
I mean, he definitely did.
So, is no one going to really talk about how funny it is that Garo's just like hanging out with this little kid, talking about, oh, look how cool these monsters are. And he's like, mister, you're weird. Why are you into the monsters, not the heroes?
He's a weirdo.
I mean, he definitely, I'm getting like, I don't know how to explain this character, because he's obviously not like pure evil, but he's not a good guy either.
I mean, he's like mostly evil.
But like, he won't beat up a little kid, which is like, you know, or pick on him or anything.
Yeah. I mean, he's like selfish evil, I think. You know?
His betrayal is a lot similar to some of the characters from Hunter x Hunter in the Phantom Troop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not like, nearly as nuanced, but...
No, but like, you know, he's selfish evil. I think is, you know.
And now just everybody is just hanging out at Saitama's house now.
Oh, yeah, no. That's how that works.
Yes. I mean, Saitama's tiny house now contains King, Blizzard, Saitama, Genos.
Yeah.
I like how Saitama's included among.
Yeah, and then somebody else showed up, too. I can't remember who it was. Some kind of.
Oh, yeah. Silver Fist Bang?
Oh, no, right,
Silver Fang.
I like him.
Oh, yeah, so they have these two old martial arts masters they apparently, one of them trained Garo.
Yeah.
Yes, Bang trained Garo.
They done fucked up.
They done fucked up. Because Garo's real good at martial arts.
Like, stupid good.
Stupid crazy good.
That guy he beat up was one of his former peers. Chironko or
Yeah.
I don't know what Saitama called him.
Chimichango.
Chimichango?
I don't know.
Oh, by the way, guys.
Like, I don't know what they call it, hobo joint panic these days.
By the way, guys, here's a banana.
Oh, yeah, he just, like, this is the running gag of, like, everyone gets a banana.
But, like, they can't eat it because they're, like, in a full body cast, and he puts it on their leg.
Yeah. He's like, why did you put it there? I can't reach it.
I don't know. He wanted a banana. Thanks, Saitama, you dick.
I will say that Saitama was more like himself in this episode than he was in the last episode.
Yeah.
I almost didn't get the running gag with the banana until I remembered, oh, wait, did he just eat a banana every day while he was training? So
yes. He's trying to help them get stronger. He feels bad for them.
He's still wearing his Opai shirt, too.
Yes, he is. Saitama Batman loves, likes his Opai.
I want
he loves shirt. The boobs.
I want. Also, shout out to Golden Balls for actually, you know, being kind of cool despite his name being Golden Balls. Golden Balls.
Right, his name is Golden
Balls. I mean, he did actually, like, hit Garo a couple of times.
Yep, oh, yeah. That's impressive.
Actually, if my Japanese is right, like, Golden Balls translate to, like, Kintama, which is, like, a pun in Japan for, like, balls or testicles. So,
Golden Balls?
I think
it is.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, funny.
I mean, like, how many times I've seen that particular pun watching Gintama?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They love doing that. Also, I want to talk to you about this Gintama episode title from earlier this week.
All right.
This may be the greatest episode title of all time.
Let's see.
All right. Okay. Gintama episode 225. So, in the second season of Prison Break, they've already broken out of prison, but the name works once you realize that society is a prison.
I've heard this.
Wow.
I dig it.
Remember when I asked you what that show was, and like I said, like how much of it is comedy compared to like not comedy?
Yes.
It sounds like it's more, way more comedy than it's not.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that it references Prison Break, I think Prison Break is like secretly like popular in Japan. Cause it's like Prison Break manga.
It might be.
If they have a manga, it must be really popular. I don't know. Maybe it's like a big niche community for in Japan.
Maybe.
Also, like, it was like the second to last episode they were using a current opening. And like at the very end, they like do a dramatic slide in front of a door. But this one time, they fuck it up and crash.
Yeah.
And they're like, we've done this 24 times. How did this happen? Anyway, at the end of One Punch Man, Garo runs into Saitama and he gets wrecked. Well, that's the end of Garo. We'll never see him again.
Yep.
Yeah, this was the quickest arc, so, yeah.
That was quick.
Yeah.
Bye, Garo.
So, the rest of the entire season is just his tournament arc.
Great. You know how in One Punch Man Season 1, like, episodes or, like, occasionally, like, a pair of, like, three episodes where, like, you're watching every, it's, like, wait for Saitama, basically?
Yeah, it's basically like wait for Goku.
Yeah, a season two is wait the entire season for Saitama.
Yeah.
Oof. Except not really, because it's going to keep going.
Like when he finally does show up in this arc, it's absolutely amazing. It just takes so long for him to get there that it's like, seriously?
Yes. The show works better when that only takes an episode.
Well, okay, so, like, the wait for the final fight in this arc is worth it because it's hilarious, but at the same time, it's like, it only works if you know it's going to happen.
I don't know that they'll actually get to animate it.
Oh, God. Like, I'm just picturing it in my head, and if they somehow get the guy who did the Boros fight, the guys who did the Boros fight in season one to do that fight, it's going to literally be the fight of the forever.
I mean, if they're not busy.
Like it could be that good.
Probably not. An entirely new studio can get.
I was gonna say, what are the chances of that? Like practically none, right?
I know, yeah.
Anyway, this is depressing me now. So let's talk about Dr. Stone. Ohayo sekai, good morning world. Dr. Stone, episode 10, A Flimsy Alliance. In this episode, Gene gets fucked up by Gaston.
Yeah.
Just Gaston. He's even got his tiny little, like, henchman running around.
He's LeFou. He's anime LeFou. I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah.
Voiced by Krillin, too.
Yeah, Krillin.
Yep.
Anyway, he fucks up Gene, and turns out his plan is to win this big generational fight and then become leader of the village because, yep, that's how this should work. Dude with the biggest muscles becomes the leader of the village and gets to marry Ruri or whatever.
So like Gaston, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he is anime Gaston, there's no doubt.
No one wins a tournament like Gaston. No.
Mm-hmm.
So rest in peace, Gin. Oh, wait, he's not dead?
He's not dead.
No, Sukiya, he's not dead. She kept like, he's dead!
It's Suika.
Oh yeah, I always say her name wrong. Suika. But yeah, so apparently Gin, he was prepared because it looks like Magma like stabbed the shit out of him, but it turns out he was wearing like fake blood packs all over his body.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why would he have fake blood packs? Did he think he was gonna get like suddenly attacked?
He literally thinks that he could be attacked at any time.
I think that's pretty reasonable considering his personality.
But what if they attacked him in the face?
Well, I mean, you can't plan for everything.
That's the same, thing with, for A Fistful of Dollars. It's like he's got the thing on his chest, so they can't shoot him. But, if they went for the head, he'd be dead.
To be fair, he actually almost didn't survive anyway. I mean, he was basically, like, bedridden for, like, 2 days.
Yes.
I like how they just snuck up on him, like, oh, let's just kill him. Wait, what? It just came out of nowhere. It's like, wow, what a whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, Kohaku got kicked out of the village because Gaston was just standing there in the middle of all these people saying, oh boy, I can't wait to marry Ruri, and then, like, throw her off a cliff.
Awkward.
So she fucked his ass up, and she's like, hey, I'm the strongest person in the village, and they're like, no, get out of here.
You're a woman, though.
And that one dude is like, forbidden love, and it's like, shut up, prehistoric Mineta.
Ginro has some weird thoughts sometimes.
Ginro goes places, but...
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, it's not that bad.
He's nowhere near as bad as Mineta.
No. He just has an imagination, that's all. Yeah, the whole thing is that, like, this year's grand bout was disrupted because Kohaku did not want Magma to marry Ruri, because it's pretty clear that Magma doesn't give a fuck about anyone but himself. So, yeah, she interrupted it and basically won the match, which means that they have to have another. And that's going to happen in, like, 2 weeks, I think. And so now the Kingdom of Science needs to prepare to win this battle because, mainly the reason is they want to, like Kohaku says, she wants to do whatever it takes to save her sister. And, Ginro and Kinro are like, okay, that's good enough for me. And so they're going to try to fight to win. Yeah. They're going to be the people who fight in the contest. Actually, it's going to be like Kinro, Ginro, and Ruri are all going to fight in the tournament. And
you mean Chrome.
Oh.
Ruri is the...
Oh, yeah, I said Ruri. I'm sorry.
Chrome.
I meant Chrome. Yeah. And Kohaku. And Kohaku's going to enter as well. I mean, I think that's the plan at the moment. So... They're going to try to tip the scales towards their favor, but yeah, they're still going up against Magma.
This somehow ends with Senku winning.
You think?
Just like and then just being like, congratulations, you get to marry Ruri now. And he's like, wait a minute.
That sounds hilarious. I don't think so. That sounds hilarious, though. So yeah, Glock was training these guys to win this bout, so...
Yeah, they've got, like, two teams now. They've got what they're calling the power team, which are, Kohaku, Ginro, and Kinro. They're going to fight in the tournament. And then we've got the science team, which is Senku and Chrome. and they're going to work on continue to make the drug.
Yeah, antibiotic. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Science rules.
No, they're making meth now. Turns out meth's more profitable.
Meth.
Like, Chrome, it's time to cook.
No, it's like, when are we going to cook again, Mr. Senku?
Never.
Well, they are going to eventually, at some point, hopefully make a bottle of cola, because that's what they promised Gen.
Gen's like, I just want a bottle of cola. And Senku's like, is Pepsi okay?
Yeah. We'll get to it.
Cola is cola. Pepsi is cola.
That's insulting.
It is true. They're all cola.
No, actually, it's going to be called New really? Senku Cola.
I somehow made, what's the cola from Fallout?
Nuka-Cola.
Nuka-Cola. Here, I found this bottle of Nuka-Cola.
Yeah.
Gee, Gen, why do you have seven arms now?
Science.
We did see Tsukasa and some of his minions in this episode as well.
Yep.
Who have been revived.
The Stone Army. Like, just these imposing, muscular...
Stone. They're called the Stone Army because they look like they're fucking chiseled out of stone.
Yeah. I mean, like, somebody pointed it out in the thread, and I can't deny the fact that these do not look like high school kids. These look like...
No.
Like, the Pillar Men walk out, and it's like, look at these high school kids!
Yes.
They look a little
aye,
old.
Aye.
The Aztec gods of fitness.
A sharp-eyed reader of the manga would have recognized a particular character in this episode.
One who maybe becomes important late.
Yes.
No.
So yeah, that's kind of where we're at the story right now. So on a promise to eventually provide Gen with cola, Gen has now gone back to Tsukasa and said that Senku is dead.
Oh, yep. Yes. Not to mention, he trademarked it as Senku Cola. It's Senku now trademarked, legally signed, you know.
Yes.
Well, to make the cola, he needs the original ingredient of the first cola, cocaine.
I don't think you have to have cocaine, but
they don't
put cocaine in modern Coca-Cola, for the record.
As far as you know.
Like, Mecha Senku's going to come back. We can't show that in this episode.
Mecha Senku, don't use cocaine, kids.
It's like Luffy being like, don't do piracy, kids. They did that once.
Yeah, that's literally like, stop piracy. You got Luffy in there and like, wait, what?
Fire Force! Fire Force, episode 13. The trap is set. In this episode, magically, the entire village, every single person in Asakusa has fucked with everyone else, and they're all arguing out in the street with each other, and nobody seems to point this out.
Yeah, like, everyone's just that dumb.
Like, isn't it strange that our entire block has been sleeping with each other's wives? No. What?
No. It's not weird at all.
No.
But then Arthur beats up a child.
Good job, Arthur.
Yeah.
No, that's an old man.
It's an old man, and it really was an old man, to his credit.
Yes, but also, I love it when Arthur gets the shit beat out of him for being so dumb.
I liked it, too, that because he was like... He was strong to his convictions. Like, they were sitting there beating up on him. He's like, dude, it's an old man, look.
No, I think Arthur is just so stupid. He could, like, see past any delusions. He's just that stupid for some reason.
Or he would have just believed, like, he's like, I think it's an old man. And then he must have somehow known. I don't understand how he knew that.
He's stupid smart.
He did.
He's an idiot savant, of course. Yeah.
It's like, I'll trick their brains into thinking this. And he's like, I have no brain.
Yeah.
But like, there were like two twins, and one of them was a fake, and he somehow saw through and luckily punched the fake one. He could have so easily punched the other one.
Oh, that would have been so funny.
That would have been terrible.
Oops.
Classic. You have to choose. You know which one is the real one. You have to choose. And then you shoot one and it's like, oh God, I'm the fake one actually.
Uh-huh. And it goes without saying, but like, this episode had some great animation in it, and some of the cool stuff where they're like chasing, there was like the person who was shooting the arrows, the fire arrows, and like it does this cool thing where like this transitions out to like this map. I don't know how to describe it, but it's just this cool effect that they
do. Yeah, the chick with like her eyes like a downvote or something. Like a,
right.
don't know.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. We've got another character with crazy pupils, or
oh great,
she's arrow point down. Yeah.
Oh great, she's a redder. Great. Yeah. Beat her up anyway.
So yeah, they reveal that apparently they have a crazy guy on this white coat team that can like burn your face into looking like other faces.
Sure.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's bullshit, but I believe it.
I don't believe it, actually.
It's like, okay, I understand the fire powers are going to get kind of creative, but that means they're going to have to stretch the limit of our suspension of disbelief.
Oh, they've been doing that for a while when the fire powers were water-based. Come on.
Oh, yeah, it became ice. Yeah.
If my friend was here, he would throw a fit because for some reason it bugs him when people like, when there's an established world, a way a world works, and then somebody is like, well, this doesn't fit with the way the world works. And then he would just go, but it's all just magic. That always bugs me because it's like, dude, like, even in magic worlds, there are rules, you know, you're supposed to, but you can't just say it's all just magic so anything can happen. No, there are like rules for how things should happen.
Yeah.
Rules are rules.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, you have to
unless you decide to break them.
But yeah, I just, so like, I think that, like, in this case, you're supposed to go along with the fact that, like, oh, yeah, so, yeah, the fire powers can do a lot of things that you wouldn't think.
It's magic. I don't have to explain shit.
Yeah, that's right, Dungeon Master. I mean,
all you have to do is just put the word fire in front of it, and that's the fire cookie baker or something. I don't know. Fire lightning. Oh, that'd be so cool. Fire lightning. I want to see that.
That's definitely already happened, right?
No,
not yet.
Well, anyway, what's his face and Arthur fight these other guys, and nobody else wants to let them fight the Infernals because they have to be like put to rest the Asakusa way. Except this one dude, evil dude, who turns into Infernal. They just shoot him in the head over and over again. That's cool. That's good.
It's like La Tom.
Yeah, where's what's her face?
She's been replaced by Tamaki.
I mean, I know that's the joke, but like really legit, like where is she in the story?
She's been replaced by Tamaki.
She's not there because I don't know, like she doesn't really have like any power connected powers, right? She's just a sister that prays for the Infernals.
Yes.
But like I mean, I'm assuming that she's like back at headquarters or something. I mean, she's not out of the series.
Probably. Yeah. No, she's out of the series.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's out of the series.
Bullshit. Really? You're talking out your ass, dude. There's no way.
I'm about to say.
She's in the freaking ending. I was just trying to figure out what they did, like, plot-wise to not have her be in this location, that's all.
To
like,
Google!
Did someone stay back? I mean, like, is the glasses guy isn't here either, is he?
No, he's there.
Oh, he is there, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe she's with, what's her name? Princess Hibana or whatnot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what's the person's name?
Oh, yeah. In this episode, we learned that Shinra and Arthur both share one singular brain cell.
I don't know.
And it's not enough.
I think that Shinra's got way more brains than Arthur.
Well, that's because he has possession of the brain cell.
It's like,
they do, like, figure out, like, they can't fight beside each other, so they come up with a formation where Shinra hovers over atop of them.
Get it? Because they're rivals.
It's so stupid. What they should have done is have them learn to work together and put their differences aside. But fuck that.
Nah. Wait, what did Arthur say? He said, like, he said a word and he's messing up the word again. Like, he's so dumb he messed up the word. I forgot what it was. Like, forbear? Forbear? What?
Yeah, I remember. It's like, I think it was supposed to be a Japanese language joke that didn't quite work in the English dub.
Anyway, anyone else got anything about Fire Force?
I forgot we were talking about Fire Force.
So did I.
This arc is enjoyable, but it's not really like a high point.
I mean, I don't mind it as much now. Like, it's not like Black Clover tier or anything, but like, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of getting to that spot where it's there and nothing more.
I mean, there's worse things that can happen, you know?
Oh, really? Are you asking for it?
No, please. I can do without.
Okay. Food Wars! Food Wars, Episode 16, The Cook Who Traveled Thousands of Miles. In this episode, Soma takes on his dad in a breakfast battle, with the judges being an old lady, a dude in a naked apron, and half-asleep Megami.
I mean, we know who she's voting for.
She doesn't even know what's happening until, like, halfway through it. Relatable, big mood.
Yes. I mean, that's basically my life.
First thing in the morning, gotta have a food battle with my dad.
Yep. Just kicked out of bed. Food battle!
I mean, he's still the better dad, Shonen dad on the block, to be honest with you. Like,
yes.
At least right now at this moment. But yeah.
I mean, we don't have many other Shonen dads on the block.
Oh, I kind of want to say something, but I'm not gonna, because it's spoilers, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
If I was voting on that food war, I would have... Honestly, would have picked Soma's dish.
Yeah, but you didn't taste it.
I know I didn't taste it, but I just from visual inspection.
Because you're a homer.
Anyway, Soma summons like a yaoi apple.
Yes.
Risotto.
A yaoi apple.
It just sits there. It stands there and says, "Apple."
I do love that. He goes, "Apple."
Prince Apple. Yeah.
Matt Damon.
This show is so ridiculous. Like, I think that's one of the reasons why I'm sticking with it. It's just so ridiculous at this point.
And then Soma's dad destroys him with, "Look, I made this vegan ramen that's breakfast ramen. How the fuck does that work?"
Who knows?
I mean, have you ever been so poor you had to eat ramen for breakfast?
Yes.
I have, yeah. You've been all been there.
We've been there.
I mean, the whole shtick with Soma's dad is that, like, because he travels the world, he has, like, knowledge of, like, weird foods that no one else does. And so he was like, "Oh, you think I use meat in my ramen? No, I use this weird, like, vegetable that I found in Africa."
Yeah.
I almost want to taste it, but I don't want to have a foodgasm in the morning, so.
You should.
Hmm.
I still wish there was a good ramen place near me. I've never really had ramen.
Really?
You haven't?
I feel like
there is a place near me that may have it.
I feel like every city cup of noodles? You know, one good ramen place.
I'm in the suburbs.
Oh.
There.
They sell them in like stores?
Yeah.
I mean, you can get, I mean, like if you want like instant ramen, you can get that real easy.
I mean, there's a latte market near me that probably has way better instant ramen than, like, Giant.
There's a place not far from me that actually would serve, like, traditional, like, true Japanese ramen. I should just try it one time.
No, it's really good.
I had, what was that pork thing I had one time that I always see in anime? I can't remember what it was.
Katsudon?
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, katsu something. Yeah, katsu something. Yeah.
Oh. This actually is specifically a ramen restaurant over here.
Well, there you go, dude. Hook up.
It's right. Okay. It looked like. Oh, it's one of those places that's both sushi and ramen, and it probably is.
It's never good. I feel like you want to do one and not both, but it'll probably be okay.
I mean, I don't think there is one that doesn't do both anywhere near me. I would have to go into DC for that. Yeah. Anyway, now I'm looking at the menu. We can talk about, like, are we done with the food wars?
Well, I think this episode was enjoyable, but not really that memorable. Except for, like, Prince Apple.
Yeah.
And Joichi. Oh, and at the very end, where Joichi was just walking on the road, and Arena's like, "Stop! Stop the car! That's my former crush."
Nope, he's gone. Oh, well. Okay. Oh, they actually do have a bunch of stuff. Okay, I should actually try some of this later.
Yes.
Yes.
Now on the food version of the Toonami Escape podcast.
Now on the food podcast. Let's talk about Demon Slayer. Speaking of food, people.
Oh. Soylent Green is people.
My brother told me he had some Soylent, and I still can't believe that a company willingly named themselves Soylent.
Oh, I can totally believe it.
Just like they knew.
It's like, it's good publicity. It's like, is it made out of people? Why don't you buy one and find out? Cha-ching!
Demon Slayer, Episode 3, Sabito and Makomo. In this episode, his teacher just kind of fucks off and tells him, cut this rock in half, and then some ghosts train him.
That sounds about right.
Yep.
Happy Halloween.
I did like that. I mean, I didn't see it coming, be honest. I thought the way the episode ended was, like, perfect.
Yeah, it was a very interesting, unique way to have a training, like a little training portion for this part of the arc.
Nezuko's been asleep for like a year now.
She's been asleep for 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah, so get used to that.
That's normal. Weird. That's fine. She basically was like, if I can't eat, I sleep.
Yes, that's about right.
So you probably start to think, well, where does your nutrition come from? Like, they're demons, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're the magical creatures, I'm sure. It can be explained somehow.
It doesn't matter.
Maybe she's a plant. Oh, wait, she can't go in the sun. That's right. Never mind.
She's the opposite.
B-Dubs, I'm going to send this. I'm going to send this menu to you. And
okay.
You can tell me if it looks like garbage or not.
It's go ahead. Fine.
I like the fine choreography in this part. Like, this is some really good fine choreography.
It is.
Yeah.
And the lighting looks super good.
Mm-hmm.
The show pretty.
It is.
You know, I've seen, like, pictures from the manga, and it's, like, the anime is, like, way better looking than the manga.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah, it's very much an Attack on Titan situation where the anime is a lot more stylish. Yeah, they pretty much amplified the experience.
I was surprised at what it looked like, because it seems to be one way or the other with this type of stuff. I would say it's the other way around with Dr. Stone. Like, I think the manga looks way better than the anime. And this is a show where the anime looks way better than the manga.
I mean, yeah, I kind of have to agree. I like Dr. Stone's anime adaptation. It really doesn't. It's kind of flat in some parts.
It's not bad. It's just sort of like good, but like doesn't reach the heights of the manga.
It won't win any production awards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not getting pretty in the way good. Of the quality. The material is very strong, and it doesn't get in the way.
Also, it kind of, like, because the I know we're talking about Dr. Stone again, but, like, because it, like, has a lot of, like, cartoony elements to it, like characters with goofy faces and stuff, like, it can get away with that kind of, like, you know, it lends itself to a lesser animation style because they're just being fun and not, like, trying to draw real detail.
Yeah. Like that's why I like the cartoony stuff best, you know?
Yeah, I think it works on for the type of tone they're trying to tell.
I think you could do a lot of serious stuff with that cartoony art style, too. It's just a willingness to, you know, give it a shot.
I mean, I think this show is kind of a good example of that, though, because, like, this show looks way better than the manga, but it, too, does sometimes fall into that, like, cartoony, goof-looking, you know, weird-looking, like, gags and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It happens very often, especially later on in the second half.
Is this a 24-episode show? Or?
Yes.
25?
It's actually 26,
I believe.
Okay. You know how that works. It can kind of – they can fudge the episode. That can change based on do they need to fill a slot earlier in a time slot, you know.
But it's a two-core. Right. That's what I was asking, really.
So one of the things we learn is that these two are like former disciples of Mr. Rokodaki. Well, okay, I got that right in the first try. Yeah, Mr. Yay. Rokodaki. And they died from some apparent reason. And I think they kind of hinted it in this episode. I don't know if they full out say it, but we'll learn more about that in the future.
One thing too, I want to mention real quick that I think is pretty cool is that whenever Orokodaki talks, you can see his face moving like behind the mask. It's just like a neat little animation thing that they do that I think is cool.
They didn't have to do that.
Right, exactly. And I would expect a lot of animes would cut corners there, but no, they legit take the time to animate his jaw moving, even though you can't see his face.
Yeah.
Ufo Table is so good, I swear. Yeah, it's so small details that makes his adaptation, like, really strong.
Anyway, he cut the rock. Now he can go off to the selection exams where they have to not die.
Yay.
I love these, like, anime organizations where the the entrance exam is, well, you decided to try to join us, so either you're going to join us or die.
Yeah. It's like, wow, that's hardcore. Yep. No redos.
Yeah. Good game. No redo.
Yeah. So I like how you just cut the rock and it's just like... You see him like he cuts it, Sabato's mask in half. But really it's just like, oh, just a visualization for him cutting the rock in half.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Like I thought that final moment in the episode with the reveal of the cutting the mask and it's actually the rock, it's really... That's pretty strong storytelling there, because there's like a lot to take in about that, the metaphor of it.
I just think it means that the rock was projecting its own ghost, and
I don't want to read too much into it, but like I kind of took it at being like those ghosts were training him they were always training him to break the rock, but like throughout the episode, Tanjiro forgot the rock was there because time he was fighting against the rock and he just didn't realize it. And that final blow that finally allowed him to hit that guy was that ghost basically setting it up so that he would hit the rock instead. So they ended up succeeding. And that was just a cool like way of doing it.
Yay.
I'm surprised the sword didn't break, but the swords are tough.
Well, shall we? I guess we have to talk about Black Clover now.
So who?
So
I surprisingly looked at this episode and I was surprised.
Black Clover, episode 92, The Wizard King versus the Leader of the Eye of the Midnight Sun.
You skip it.
Which is a mouthful. Anyway, hey, you know that dude whose last name is Vengeance?
No.
He was the bad guy.
Dun dun dun!
What? No shit! That dude whose name is Vengeance and he looks exactly like the bad guy?
Asterisk. Big asterisk,
I don't
though.
Believe it.
He's not, wait, it's not Vengeance. Just him. He has like a dual personality or some weird thing.
Like it's two souls inhabiting the same body, and when one's taking over, that like literally physically changes.
Oh man, I want to say something so bad, but spoiler.
I also I'm going to keep it to myself. So
wait a minute.
Bad.
Wait, hang on. You've read Black Clover?
Oh, no, this is for a different show.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, are you read up on Black Clover?
What? No! I don't read Black Clover.
I mean, nice. I want to read it. I just need to catch up, so.
Why would you? I mean, I guess it takes like 7 seconds to read the entire thing, probably.
I mean, seriously, I don't think Black Clover is... I've heard good things about it from people who read the manga, and I kind of want to check it out for myself. I want to give it a fair shot.
But it's more like the Bleach thing where it's okay, it's perfectly adequate because it takes 2 seconds to read a chapter.
Yeah, I'm not expecting like anything like, you know,
good.
Good or revolutionary or anything that's going to like reinvent the wheel. But if it's a decent read, I'll give it a try. You know, I read all of Bleach. You know, unfortunately. But, you know.
I mean, again,
Bleach took like 3 seconds to read.
Yep.
It's like, oh, the chapter's out. Done.
Yeah.
Wait till next week. Yeah, I'm surprised the animation for that fight with the Wizard King and Lich, whatever his name is.
Lich.
The German guy.
Lickitung, okay.
Yes, Lickitung. I like this name better.
Yeah, so the Wizard King versus Lickitung, that fight was really well animated. Like, it was really, really, really good.
Yeah, it looked decent, but it was basically just the Wizard King flying away from a bunch of beams.
I mean, I know Black Clover has had production issues, but I'm glad they were able to get at least certain amounts of decent Sakuga in there.
Still so far more impressive moments in Black Clover animation-wise than One Punch Man Season 2. Comparing the episodes that have aired so far, we've had the Meliriona beatdown of that one dude and this, and it's like, okay. So far, directly comparing the episodes that have aired on the same night, Black Clover is winning.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah. I mean, I think Fire Force would get a run for his money in some animation parts, but yeah.
Anyway, I don't have anything else about Black Clover because, you know. Holy fucking shit, JoJo's back!
What? JoJo?
Where?
Nani?
Oh my god!
I inhaled my own spit. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Golden Wind, Episode 1. Golden Wind.
It's so amazing.
In this episode, some stando bullshit's going down in Italy, and Jotaro has sent Koichi, who is now even shorter, to investigate.
How does that happen?
He got a giant anvil dropped on his head, and he shrunk.
Yeah,
Sounds about right. That's a Koichi thing to have happen.
He's been using reverb too much, and it's like the gravity is like messed up his height.
Okay, you know how you get taller when you grow older? Well, that's the opposite for Koichi. He gets smaller as he gets older.
He is turning into a Japanese grandma.
Yeah, it's like
that's about right.
Anyway, he meets this dude at the airport while searching for like the son of Dio, and it's like, oh no, it's him. Immediately.
This admirably dressed Italian guy. This
all Italians dress like this.
Yeah, exactly. I've been to Italy. It's true.
Giant boob windows.
Yep. Anyway, JoJo steals Koichi's money, suitcase, and passport, and money. Our hero, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay.
Also, he like turns things into frogs and shit.
Yeah, I do not understand this stand power yet.
Great!
No one does.
Neither does the writer.
It is weird.
No one understands this stand power.
And he, like, grew a tree or something? I do not understand what's going on.
He turned the suitcase into a frog that then, like, found him. And also, when this one dude hit the frog with a shovel, he hit his own head?
That sounds about right.
By the way, some of this stuff will just literally be completely dropped.
So what you're saying is it's just run-of-the-mill stand bullshit.
Yes.
Yeah, like, kind of. Okay, so Gon Experience, I guess Golden Wind. I'm going to say Gon Experience because that's better. Its power is to turn any inanimate object it puts life, L-I-F-E, into any inanimate object. So it can create any sort of animal or living creature. And if you hit it, the damage you put on it reflects back on you. So it's like a giant reflect spell or something on it.
Yes.
The main theme with this ability is life. That's all you need to know. It's just
nobody understands it.
It gives life.
Gives, creates. It's fluid enough.
Anyway, because he killed this dude, some other mafia dude starts to come after him, who also has a boob window.
See, everyone I told you, Italians dressed like that. I've been to Italy.
They all have boob windows.
I went to this guy who had a boob window. I'm like, excuse me. Like, oh, buongiorno.
Who's who?
How are you doing? I'm sorry, our Italian listeners. I apologize.
He also there likes are... licking people.
Who doesn't?
Anyway, this is a meme. You've probably already seen it out of context in many other things.
So, like, it's something to do with, like, he can tell if someone's lying by tasting their sweat.
Yep.
That's bullshit.
But do you believe it?
I believe it.
Yes.
Oh, when this part's going to be so fun.
This part is some bullshit.
But I believe it.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say about this episode. It kind of happened, like, it kind of went really fast.
Yep.
Like we said before last week, I mean, like, it's pretty much they're talking about the fact that this is the son of Dio.
He's got that picture of Dio in his wallet that he somehow got.
Technically, I guess, you know, he's got some Jonathan in it because they share the same body, so yes. How does that work?
I want to say he's mostly Jonathan.
Yeah, it's like...
I mean, they did make a point to show him, like, even though he is, like, a delinquent, he's not, like, evil. Cause, like,
oh, I'll save this tourist from getting her wallet stolen, but I'll take some money.
But then I'll take a couple of bucks out of it as well, yeah.
That's so the Dio blood.
Because I actually honestly thought he was just going to be evil.
Yes, no. this is the evil JoJo part. The JoJo is evil.
Oh, you spoiled the twist.
I mean, I was going to say, like, you should be careful when you say things like that, because I'll believe it.
No, it's just a joke.
That's bullshit.
It's bullshit, and you'll believe it.
But no, like, they seem to set up the fact that he is, like, a golden-hearted thief or something, you know what I mean? Like, somebody who's, like, in it for himself, but then also isn't evil and, you know, helps people.
I guess you could say he's kind of like the opposite of Josuke, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Araki says that he wants every preceding JoJo character to, like, be the opposite of the previous one. That's why Josuke is a lot more kinder compared to Jotaro. So
yeah.
Maybe in that sense.
That would fit, yeah.
Oh, speaking of Jotaro, we see him for, like, 5 seconds in this episode.
We see his ridiculous office.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which is just starfish and dolphins everywhere.
He's such a marine nerd. He's a marine otaku.
I love this thing where Jotaro is a marine otaku. Biologist. He's a doctor. He has a doctorate in marine biology. This is the thing that happened.
And in that moment, he became a marine biologist.
How do we know he's a marine biologist? Look at his room. Yes.
It's filled with marine biology.
It is. What a freaking out of left field thing.
Jotaro has gone back to the 18th century, like, field of biology, where the best way to learn about biology is to shoot everything you see.
Yeah.
Yes.
Might as well rename Star Platinum to Ocean Man.
Basically, like, biology and, like, oh, shit. The thing where you stuff stuff.
Taxidermy?
Yeah.
Taxidermy. Back when those were the same thing.
Those were never the same thing.
Like, what happened in his life that he suddenly became big into ocean stuff?
Remember when he punched all those sharks?
Maybe he likes dolphins.
Yeah, that was probably it.
No, it's because starfish and the star.
Oh.
I don't know.
Dumb reason.
I don't know. That's just, I'm just making it up.
It'd be awesome if you just wanted to, like, punch sea monsters and then was like, oh, there are no sea monsters, but this is kind of cool anyway.
Yeah. But I want to say I really like the character designs and the new style for this part. It's a lot more detailed than part 4, which was a lot more loose and a lot more clean, I guess.
Yeah.
So this is a lot more detailed. There's some cool animation bits, like the part where Giorno was stuffing his ear inside of his ear canal.
That's disgusting, and fortunately we'll never see it again.
Aww.
Maybe.
I love how they just, like, established that he can shove his entire ear into his head, and that doesn't matter at all.
I've tried it, and I'm like, ow, it hurts. How does he do that?
I mean, it's impossible. Yeah. You can't do that. I don't think humans can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the style of this part. I think it looks closer to I want to say it's a mix between the Part 5 style Rocky had and his current style. So
yeah.
Everyone has intense shading on them at all times.
Yeah.
Anyway, Part 5, it's finally here. It's so good. Can't wait.
Yay.
I can't wait for Naruto Shippuden.
Can we skip it?
No.
Mm-hmm. A&S. A&S.
A&S. Naruto Shippuden, episode 272, Mifune versus Hanzo. In this episode, Mifune says the phrase, without cracking up into laughter, they need us samurai to win the war.
Yes.
Mm. No, they don't.
So he's like, he's the last samurai?
They don't need you samurai at all. You suck. You don't do anything.
Yeah, they went to great lengths to make the samurai seem important here, didn't they?
I completely forgot they introduced samurai in Naruto, like, really late in the game.
Nobody remembered.
Like, I think all media has, there's like this law. Either the samurai are super awesome and cool and the ninja aren't, or the ninja are super awesome and cool and the samurai aren't.
Why can't they both be super awesome and cool?
No.
Well, that's what they're trying to do here, and it's not working.
Because we know that the samurai suck.
Like, they got bodied by the Sasuke.
This is such a waste of potential in the Naruto universe to have samurais and not have them be awesome.
I mean, that's the entirety of the Naruto universe.
The entirety, yeah, basically. We had this, and it should have been awesome, but it wasn't.
I mean, but what's the difference between the samurai and the ninja? Just because one uses swords, while the other uses kunai and shuriken? Is that it?
Kind
Pretty
of.
Pretty much.
The difference is samurai can't use magic, so okay.
All of the freaking samurai look like stormtroopers.
Yep.
This is true.
Well, Kishimoto is a fan of Star Wars, so that's probably true.
Yeah.
Wait, so I forgot. The samurai don't know how to use chakra? I'm pretty sure they know how to use chakra.
Nope, they're dumbasses.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I know Mifune used like some sort of chakra infused blade
maybe,
attack.
Maybe, but like they certainly wouldn't know ninjutsu because that's literally ninja.
Well, use samurai jutsu or whatever.
Nope. They don't get that.
Anyway, I actually like slept through this episode, so I don't know anything about it.
Nobody knows anything about
it. I don't care
about
Hanzo. He's a dude in a giant gas mask. Fuck him.
Wait, which one was he again?
He's the Rain Leader dude who the original Akatsuki were fighting, and then he killed them.
Oh, right.
Everyone says he's super strong, but he never does anything cool at all.
Because he's dead.
Yeah, I remember him.
Because he's dead.
I remember people were hyped about Hanzo. I'm like, okay,
it's like, look at this character design. This is not the character design you give to somebody who's going to be cool.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, I remember when they introduced him the first time, it was, oh my god, the Three's Honey barely, you know, fought him to a draw. And it's like, oh, that's pretty goddamn hype. That guy must be awesome. It's like, nah, he sucks.
Like, how did he fight them to a draw?
I don't know. By being shit.
Well, they make a big deal in this episode about the fact that, like, oh, somebody, they cut me open and they put, like, a gas organ inside me, and now I have to wear this mask because if I breathe on my enemy, it'll kill them. But I don't want to breathe on you because that wouldn't be a fair fight, and blah, blah, blah. And if you cut me open here, I could die from my own breath.
What?
Well, not from his own breath, I'm sorry. If they cut open his, like, gas-producing organ, then the gas will seep out, and even it'll be enough to even kill him. So he wears a mask to protect him from himself.
Wow, I forgot how stupid this is.
Yeah, there you go.
I forgot how stupid this is.
My eyes just glazed over because of how dumb that was.
Yeah. Like, it physically hurts.
Lupin the Third, Part 5, Episode 19, A 7.62mm Mirage. In this episode, I forget the entire setup of why Lupin is having a chess match with this dude in this canyon while Jigen and Mysterious Sniper Lady have a sniper battle. But does it was it cool. Matter? It was cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. Who cares?
Even when, like, suddenly, like, oh no, she's whipping out the exploding bullets. Lupin the Third, Part 5, Episode 19, a 7.62mm Mirage in this episode. I forget the entire setup of why Lupin is having a chess match with this dude in this canyon while Jigen and Mysterious Sniper Lady have a sniper battle. But
does
it was
it
cool.
Matter?
It was cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. Who cares?
Even when, like, suddenly, like, oh no, she's whipping out the exploding bullets. And Jigen, like, shoots an entire mountain away from him with a gun. And I'm
awesome
like, no, I don't believe that.
I really need to catch up on Lupin because I've kind of fell behind because so late in the block.
Anyway, who didn't immediately call the sniper just being the kid?
Haven't they done that before?
It doesn't matter, but it was awesome.
Sniper kid.
There was like a little girl sniper in the first season.
No, that was different.
No, that was something else.
That was different. I'm talking about different. When it's like the flashback to, we're leaving the war. Here's Mirage. She's pregnant. And you think, oh, you think the sniper now is Mirage, but it's actually the kid. Mm. And it's like, I saw that coming from a mile away. I'm smart.
Congratulations.
I am so smart. S-M-R-T.
I can smell smart. S-M-M-A-R-T. I are smart.
Deep Simpsons references right now.
Yeah. Yep. Again, I'm sorry. I don't have much to say about Lupin.
I'll catch up.
I mean, it's good.
What else
is there to say? It's very good.
Okay.
It's very late.
Here's some context. Lupin is invited by a psychotic millionaire named Zilberstein.
Zilberstein.
Wow. One of his old acquaintances to a solitary chess game for life and death.
That's cool. Mm.
To increase the thrill, Zilberstein has hired an infamous female sniper named Mirage, a former partner of Jigen, to kill Lupin during the game. Okay.
Oh, and that's why Goemon's shooting her. Okay.
I mean, it's still awesome as hell, even if you didn't know that.
Yep. I wondered what the setup was, and it turns out it was just, hey, come face me in this chess game of death. Okay, I'll do that, because I'm Lupin the Third. Also, I want to say that the next episode is called Zenigata, Gentleman Thief.
It's going to be the best episode ever.
That sounds like a great episode.
Pops decides to steal everything.
Does anyone else have anything about Toonami tonight?
JoJo's on way too late, but I'm still going to watch it because it's JoJo, so.
Absolutely. If the question is, who's going to stay up until 2:30 in the morning for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure? The answer is me.
I mean, I can kind of understand because this part is kind of really gory and it goes places, but it doesn't need to be on at 2:30. It could be on like 1.
Come on. Couldn't it at least be on at 2 before Black Clover?
Yeah, at least. Oh, man. Stop making Black Clover thing.
It's not going to happen.
Yes.
I think we have to accept the fact that it may actually be kind of a thing.
Wait, weren't we going to rank Black Clover at some point?
At the end of the year.
Or ship it in or whatever.
Both at the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
We can do that.
I mean, I think at this point now, Studio Pro is just like, this is sunk cost fallacy, so we got to keep going with Black Clover.
Yeah.
We started it, now we're going to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what was everyone's favorite episode of the night? C. Kohler.
I'm not sure. Let me think. I guess it was JoJo because I just didn't know what to expect. It was just so, you know, JoJo in its it's just good old JoJo in that weirdness that it is, so I enjoyed it.
Imperial Bishop.
Oh, easily it's JoJo. Maybe Dr. Stone at a close second. It's because it's funny seeing anime Gaston, but yeah, JoJo. Even though I've seen this, the dub is really solid right now. Who's voicing Giorno?
Oh, wait, did we talk about the ending for JoJo?
No, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, that's next.
They haven't?
It's the first episode. They don't show the OP or the ending in the first episode.
Oh, man.
It should be next week.
I completely think. Forgot. That is going to be...
Don't say what it is, though. It needs to be surprised.
I was hoping I'd get to talk about that today.
B-Dubs, what was your favorite episode?
Because we didn't get the JoJo opening, I'm going with Lupin. Because I'm a sucker for this kind of setup.
I might also go with Lupin.
Pretty cool.
All right. Well, thanks, Imperial Bishop.
You're welcome. Thanks. I'm happy to be on again.
Thanks, C-Color.
No problem.
Thanks, B-Dubs.
Okay.
This has been episode
173. You got it.
You can get there. I believe in you.
Of the Toonami Escape Podcast. We'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Say goodbye in Italian. Goodbye, Avita. Say ski. Later.